Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Yud Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Kassab family in memory of Yasha Rabbi Ben Kladi. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Alun Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We begin on the fourth line of the Gemara and Daf Kuf Yud Bet. So the Gemara said, Mifteyah Haluka. In the Mishnah we discussed, a lady is allowed to tie her cloak. We explained that this cloak was tied on both sides. They would tie the right side to the left shoulder and the left side to the right shoulder, and that's how they would wear it. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? Because the lady takes off this garment every day. Therefore, it's certainly not a permanent knot. And a knot like that, that's undone every day, according to the halakha, should be permissible. So it's obvious. What does the Mishnah have to tell me over here? That a lady can tie and untie the knot of her halukah. So the Gemara says, Lo tzericha di'itle tre dashe. Which means we're talking about a cloak that has two openings to it. Which means, let's say, two pieces coming on both sides. Literally, as she says, those are like the tongues that hang over. And mao detema, I would have thought, hada minayu batule miftil. I would have thought that in order to get this cloak on and off, you could leave one permanently tied, and you just have to untie the other one. And it's still removable and able to put on again. So therefore, I would have said that you can't tie either of them, because who knows which one she's going to leave. Which means one of the knots might be permanent. You don't need to untie both of them to put on the halukah. So I would have thought, since it's possible for her to just to untie one and to slip it on and to slip it off, so therefore I would have said what? That you can't do any of them, because who knows which one is going to be the permanent one. Therefore the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, no, that the normal way of a lady, when she puts on this garment, she does untie both of them, and therefore they're not considered permanent. Vehute sabacham. We said the strings on her hat, she's allowed to make that knot of the hat. Pshita, again, that's a temporary knot, because she takes her hat off every day. So therefore the knot is not permanent. So what's the chidush of the Mishnah? Because she has space, meaning it's not such a tight knot, and the hat can be really taken off even without untying the knot. So I would have thought she just takes it off without untying the knot of the hat, and therefore would be considered asur to make the knot because it's permanent. And the hadush of Mishnah is the isha hasa al se'ara. The lady has literally hasa is has mercy or is concerned about her hair. And therefore she unties it, because if she doesn't untie it, when she pulls off the hat, it might take out some of her hair. So therefore the chidush is that she does untie it each time, and therefore it's considered a not permanent knot, therefore it would be permissible. Now, the Gemara does not discuss the next case of the Mishnah, which was the piskiya. The piskiya was the girdle that the woman would wear, and she would tie and take it off. But the Mishnah said it's 100% permissible. The Gemara does not ask on this case pishita. So that she does that for us and says, that's also, Mishnah is telling us a chidush, because even though the lady technically can take it off with the knot on it, she doesn't, because it's not a modest way of taking it off, and therefore she'll untie the knot each time, and therefore the girdle, the piskiya, also would be permissible, because it's a knot that's constantly undone. So therefore, basically, at this point in the Gemara is just trying to show that the cases of the Mishnah, all of them are chidushim. You might have thought that the knots in these cases were permanent, because you were able to, the garment is functional even by leaving one knot, let's say, on it. Now, Adut Shel Gemara is still no, the lady, the derech is to untie all of them. Anytime she puts it on or off, and therefore, it's considered mutar. Comes the Gemara and continues, Urtsuot min'al ve'sandal. When we said it's permissible to tie the knots of the min'al, the shoe, and the sandal. So comes the Gemara and says, Itmar, hitir urtsuot min'al ve'sandal. We have a statement regarding untying the straps of a min'al, a shoe, or a sandal. Tani chada chayav hatat. We have one Tanaic statement that says if one unties the strap, he's a chayav hatat. V'tanya idach, we have another braita that says patur aval asur. It's forbidden midrabbanan. V'tanya idach, and we have a third braita that says mutar l'katechila. So we have three diverse opinions regarding untying a shoe, a min'al, and a sandal. So the Gemara says, Kasha min'al, a min'al. We have contradictions between the braitot regarding shoes. Kasha, sandal, a sandal. We have a contradiction between the braitot regarding sandal. One says hayav hatat, one says patur aval asur, one says mutar l'katechila. So how do we reconcile? Min'al, a min'al, a kasha. The question from min'al to min'al is not a question. Why? Hadik tani hayav hatat. The first braita that said if you untie such a knot that you can consider it hayav hatad bide ushkape. That's talking about the knot that the shoemaker makes when he's making the shoe. And that knot that he makes is part of the creation of the shoe. It stays there forever. And therefore that ushkape, the shoemaker's knot, that's going to be considered hayav hatad if he makes it on Shabbat, or for that matter, if you untie it on Shabbat, since you're untying a permanent knot. The Gemara continues. Patura balasur, the case where it's patura balasur, bidrabbanan. It's literally rabbanan, that's referring to the rabbis. And as she tells us, the rabbis used to tie their shoes around their legs. There were straps, they used to tie it around, let's say, their ankles, as she says. And he writes, "En koshrin bedohak." Says they would not tie their shoes with tight knots. Shepa'amim shecholso kashu kashur, because the rabbis a lot of times would take their shoes off when they're still knotted. They would not untie them. V'no'alo kashu kashur, he places it on when it's knotted. However, it's not a permanent knot, as she tells us, because they do take it off when there's, let's say, muddy roads and it's raining outside, because since the shoe is loosely fitted on them, because they just slide their shoe in, foot in and out, so they don't want it to fall off in the mud. So then they untie it at that time in order to make it tight on them. So therefore, it's not a permanent knot. This is the way the rabbis would wear their shoes. The Ritba's a little different explanation. He says the rabbis didn't want to waste their time in tying and untying their shoes because bitul Torah. And therefore they would just, make one knot at the beginning of the week and slide their foot in and slide their foot out. But when would they untie it? On Friday night before Shabbat, they would untie the shoe. So therefore it's not a permanent knot of a deoraita because it's not ne'olam, but it would be asur midrabbanan. Okay? Now, mutalak at tahila, what's the case where you're allowed to untie the knot at tahila? Bidibene mechoza, the people of mechoza. Now she tells us they were very finicky people or spoiled people, and they were very careful the way they wore their garments, and they only wore their clothes in a very fitting way. And therefore their shoes, they wouldn't wear loosely. They wore their shoes, fitting their foot tightly. So they would tie the knot of their shoe every day, and they would untie it every day in order to wear it the right way. So therefore, if the people of Mechoza, since it's a knot that's undone every day, so there would be mutar l'chatechila. So therefore, the Gemara answered the three brayot. Again, the Chayav Hatat is talking about the shoemaker. The Patur Aval Asur is talking about the Hachamim, the way they wear their shoes, when they leave it for a little while. And the case of the Bnei Mechoza would be mutar l'chatechila. Sandala, sandala, kasha. Now we have to answer the brayot regarding the sandal, the sandals. Ha diktani hayav hatat, the case where we said that the sandal is hayav hatat bedetayeh. That's talking about the Arabs dekatre ushkape, that the Arab merchants that they have their shoes over there, so that the professionals, they tie it in a way where the sandal has a permanent knot. Okay, so we hayav hatat. Patur aval asur bedehomreta. That's talking about the knots, the katre inu, that the amateurs tie their knots on their sandals. And since it's not done by an uman, right, it's not by, exactly, it's not done by a professional, so therefore, Rashi writes that they don't leave the knot there permanently. Rashi writes, pa'amim shemitkayem shabbat o chodesh. He says sometimes they leave it for a week or sometimes a month. It's interesting that she says over here that up to a month, it sounds like, it would still be considered not a permanent knot of Hayuv Hatat. The Bet Yosef wants the Medayek from this Rashi, that until a month we'd be considered, according to Rashi at least, not permanent. Only after a month is considered, let's say, Le'olam. That would be Shitat Rashi. In any event, Mutar L'Chetechilah, what would be the case of Sandal? That's Mutar L'Chetechilah. The Nafke Be'etre. That's a sandal that two people go out with me, which means it's a sandal that is shared by two people. And therefore, every day you have to take off the knot in order to adjust it for the other fellow's foot. So therefore, on a shared sandal, they're constantly tying and untying it every day. So again, we answered sandal. Let's review how we answered. The case that's Hayav Hatat is talking about the Arab sandals, the merchants, that they tie a permanent knot from the professional knot that they have that stays there le'olam. The case is Patura Valasu, talking about the amateur knot that they tie to the shoe that's left for, as she says, a week or a month. And the Mutalik HaTayla would be a shoe that is shared by two people. Kedir Rav Yehuda, like despite Rav Yehuda's practice. Rav Yehuda, Ahud Rav Salah Hasida, the brother of Rav Salah Hasida, Havale Ahu Zugad de Sandele. He had a pair of sandals. Zimnin de Nafik Be'ihu. Sometimes he would go out with them. Zimnin nafik be yinuken. Sometimes his child would go out with them. So you see, there was a practice to share the sandals. Ata lekamed abaye. So he came in front of abaye. Amale ki agav na mai. He said, regarding these sandals that you know we put on and take off, what's the din legabe Shabbat? Is it permissible to untie the knot on Shabbat? He was asking abaye the halacha. It's a shared sandal, permissible or not? Amarle hayav hatat. So Abaye said, such a knot, if you untie it, hayav hatat. So the rabbi was shocked. Amarle hashta patur aval asur kakashali. He says, if you would have answered me that it's a sur midrabanan, I would have been shocked. I would have had a question on what you're telling me. Hayav hatat kamarli? No. You didn't even tell me patur aval asur. You even said it's hayav hatat? How could you tell me that? So the Gemara says, Abaye tells him, "My tama, what are you shocked about? What are you all, questioning my psak?" Amar le, he says, "Rav Yehuda answers him back. Mishum debechol name zimni nafik na be ana. During the week, sometimes I go out with this sandal. Zimni nafik be yinuka. Sometimes my child goes out with it. So I can't believe why you're telling me it's hayuv chatam. I'm constantly tying and untying this shoe." Amale, so Abaye says, "Oh, iache mutalik atachila." Says, "I'm sorry. If that's the scenario, then I change my ruling. It is indeed mutalik atachila." Originally, Abaye saw that he brought him a sandal that has this permanent knot on it. He thought he was talking about the permanent knot of the ushkape of the the professional knot that the shoemaker makes on it. He thought he was asking him, "Can you untie this knot on Shabbat?" He said, "What are you talking about? This is a permanent knot. This is hayuv hatat." Meanwhile, Rav Yehuda was really asking him regarding tying the shoe, taking it off, putting it on a daily basis, because he shares the shoe. So Rav Yehuda says, "Oh, that's the case. You're right, that it'll be permissible." As she says, I just quote Nashi, "Hache muta lechetechila." He writes, "Umi'ikara, originally, savar delo ragil mi'avadache." He thought that, he wasn't accustomed to share the shoe with somebody else. Vikatra de ushkape ava. And he was showing him the knot of the ushkape of the shoemaker. That knot is normally kavua. Therefore, Abaye answered according to what he thought the question was. And then when Rav Yehuda explained to him, he said, "What are you talking about? This is a shoe that's taken on every off every day. Says, okay, that's permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Story with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Hava ka'azil batred Rabbi Abhu b'Karmelit. He was walking with Rabbi Abhu in a Karmelit. Now, a Karmelit, we learned, is a rabbinical domain. Which means one is not allowed to carry in a Karmelit for Amot. Right? What happened? The Gemara says, if seek, when we change the Gersa a little, if seek le, we add the word le, if seek le the tsu'ad the sandele. What happened was, his strap of his sandal broke. So now he has a problem. Because technically you can't wear it now. Okay? Because the sandal broke, the strap broke off. So he wants to know, what can he do now? He can't carry it in the Karmelit. So it's Amar le, mai ne'ibidla. So he tells him, what should I do now? So Amar le, shekol gemilah. Go take a moist reed, called gemilah. It's not mukseh, because this reed over here that I'm telling you to take is really fit to feed to animals, so it's not a mukseh issue taking this reed. And use the gemilah as a temporary strap and tie your shoe, so therefore it's wearable, and walk it out. So the Gemara says, Abaye avaka ekamed Rabbi Yosef. Similar story. Abaye was walking by Rabbi Yosef. Now this was in a private domain, as we're going to see. If seek le ritzua, so Abaye's shoe broke, the strap broke. Amar le mayi avide. So he asked Rabbi Yosef, what do I do? Amar le shevke. He told him, leave it. So now the Gemara wants to understand why the difference between the two stories. In Rabbi Yirmiyah's case, the rabbi told him, take gemilah and wear the shoe. Here he told him, you have to just leave it there. So Gemara says, Maishina midrabi Yirmiyah. Actually, Abaye was asking him. He said, Rabbi, what's the difference between Rabbi Yirmiyah was allowed to fix the shoe? Gemara says, Hatam lo mintar, hacha mintar. Gemara answers, There, lo mintar, the shoe is not protected. Here it is protected. Mintar means protected. Now what does this mean? Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, let's read Rashi. Hatam, second line in Rashi. Bekanmelit kegon beka lo hava mintar. Meaning, a Karmelit is a place that it's not protected. It's not a private area. So it sounds like what he was telling him was, you know, in the Karmelit, where it's not protected, you know what? He gave him a heter. Go take the gemilah, tie it to the shoe, and go wear it out. Whereas in the private domain, where you leave it there, nothing's going to happen to the shoe. So therefore he told him, leave it there, it's protected. Come after Shabbat and get your shoe. Only question is, what's the issue over there? If you can find the gemilah and tie it, what's the problem? Why can't you allow this even in a rishut yachid? So the Mefashim are explaining here that the shoe is mukseh. Because once the shoe breaks, so now it's not a shoe anymore. So now it's the din of mukseh. So by taking the gemilah and wrapping it around the shoe, you're going to have to come in contact with the shoe. So the Gemara is asking, how did they allow this in the Karmelit? And they didn't allow this in the Rishut HaYachid. So they said, in the Karmelit, since there's a shot that the you're going to lose your shoe, so the rabbis were lenient on mukseh to deal with the broken shoe in order to wrap it around with gemilah. However, in the Rishut HaYachid, well, you don't need to be lenient over there. So therefore, he just said, leave it there. That's the way Rashi is understanding. The Rishonim question Rashi. Because it comes out, according to this, that the rabbis are going to be lenient in mukseh in the case of hefsid, in the case of a financial loss. Where do we see that we're lenient to deal with mukseh in the face of financial loss? So because of that question, the Ritba brings down from the Ra'avad a different answer. And he says like this, beautiful answer. He says, in the Hatzir, when it's in the private domain. The shoe broke. Now, the guy has intentions to fix the shoe eventually. However, right now, the shoe, the way it is not wearable. Nor is he going to use it for anything else, because he really wants to fix it as a shoe. And he knows in the Hatzer, you know, he can come back after Shabbat, and it'll still be there. So therefore, in a Hatzer, the shoe becomes mukseh, because there's no function for it right now, there's no purpose. But in the Karmelit, in the guy's mind, he's scared now that the shoe's going to get stolen, right? Because it's in the Karmelit. So when it breaks, in his mind, he says, I'm still wearing this shoe. I'm still wearing this item. I'm wearing this out. And therefore, since it's still in his mind to wear this shoe out, it does not become mukseh. And that's the way the Ritma wants to learn from the Ra'avad. That in a Karmelit, it's not mukseh. Whereas in a Yereshut Yachid, it will be mukseh. The Lashon of the Ra'avad is, Aval bekarmelit, datoh alav lena'alo kemochi ayidei adahag. In the Karmelit, his mind is still to wear it, no matter how it is. Achi yagi lahatzer, until he gets to the private domain. So therefore he told him, fine, kerok alia gemilach, I don't care if you come in contact with the shoe, your mind is still on to use it. Whereas in the Reshut Yachid, he writes, bahaser datoh le'adekov lena'alo lemahar. Right, he's going to fix it tomorrow. No miftil milakto rishona. So in his mind, he still wants it to be a shoe, but it's really not a shoe because it's broken, and therefore it'll be mukseh. So that's the way. So really, quote the Ravad, we're not being lenient in mukseh b'mkom efsed. It's just not mukseh. Comes again one and says, wait, veha manahu. What are you even discussing? It's mukseh, it's not mukseh, making a difference between a kamelit and a reshut yachid. Bottom line, it's still a vessel. Why is it still a vessel? It's a broken shoe. So the Gemara says, de'ibayina hafichna le miyamin l'smol. Because the way their sandals were made, if a outer strap of the sandal came off, the outer strap is from the outside of the foot, right? There's an inner strap and there's an outer strap. Now, if the inner strap broke, so what they would do is they would fix it. They would repair it, even though the shoe wouldn't look so appealing anymore. But since it's on the inside of the foot, so therefore it's really concealed, so they would fix it. If a strap broke on the outside, to fix it, it would make the shoe very unappealing because it's exposed on the outside. But what they'd be able to do is, if that happened on the right foot, they would be able to use that right shoe now as a left shoe. Because the strap on the outside, on the left foot, is really on the inside. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, why is the shoe mukseh at all? You could use that righty shoe now as a lefty shoe. So therefore, it's still, even if it broke, which is we're talking about in both these cases, of Rabbi Miyan Abaye, which strap broke on their sandals? The outer strap. So the Gemara is discussing, it's mukseh, but the Karmelit is different. Gemara, what are you talking about? It shouldn't be mukseh at all. Why? Because it's still functional as a shoe. Granted, not as a righty shoe, but it'll be functional as a lefty shoe. Because since the outer strap broke, so you could just now put it on the left foot. Of course, you adjust it now. And you would adjust it because now that outer strap is on the inside of the shoe. It's not so exposed and revealed. So it's worth it for the guy to fix it. So the Gemara says, Amar le. So he answered him back. So this was Abaye telling Rabbi Yosef. Abaye is saying, Rabbi, why is the shoe mukseh at all? You're not letting me carry the shoe in the reshut the yachid you can carry. Well, why can't I just take it home? Why are you dealing with mukseh over here? It's worthy to be a lefty shoe. So he says, Amalev Yosef tells him, Medikametaretz Rabbi Yochanan alibad Rabbi Yehuda, Shma'amina alakak Rabbi Yehuda. He'll say like this. So we're going to show you now that there was a rabbi called Rabbi Yochanan, and he supported the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see right now the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is going to be that when a righty shoe breaks, it's not usable as a lefty shoe. And Rabbi Yochanan was dealing with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
So Rabbi Yosef says, well, listen, since I have statements from Rabbi Yochanan that goes with Rabbi Yehuda, so I figure the halakha must be like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, I didn't give you this heter. I didn't give you this heter of saying it's not mukseh because you can switch foots. Now, feet. Now, where do we see Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? So the Gemara says, Mayi, what is this opinion? The Tanya, because we have a braita. Sandal shenifsiku shte oznav. Now we discuss the ears of the sandal. The top flaps that go on top of the foot are called oznaim. That's where the fellow, let's say, ties and holds the straps when he's tying his shoes. Those are called oznav. O shte tersiyotav. Tersiyotav are the straps that are on the sides of the shoe. As we said, one on the inside of the foot and one on the outside. So every sandal has two oznaim on top and two tarsiyot on both sides. One on the inside of the foot and one on the outside of the foot. Okay, those are called tarsiyot. Now, again, sandal, I read again. Shenifsiku shte oznav o shte tarsiyotav. So the shoe really came apart. The two oznaim either came off or the two tarsiyot came apart. O shinital kol hakaf shelo. Or the entire sole of the shoe came apart. Tahor. Now the shoe is tahor, meaning, right, I mean, let's say the shoe became tameh when it was a shoe, right? We know that so long as it's a keli, so long as it's a vessel, it retains its tum'ah. Once it breaks, so now it's not a keli anymore, so the tum'ah that was on it goes off. So since a shoe that breaks in this fashion, where, you know, the sole comes apart, or the oznaim come apart, or the tersiyot come apart, it's not a shoe anymore. Therefore, tahor. Achat me oznav, or achat me tersiyotav, but if only one of the ears of the shoe, or the straps of the shoe come off, or shenital rova kafshelo, or if only the majority of the sole came apart, tameh. The shoe is still tameh. Now, what's the logic why the shoe is still tameh? So, because it's still wearable. So, let's just read Rashi. Tameh. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down after they get white. Tameh. Lo parha tuma me'alav. The tuma does not go off the shoe. Why? Da'akati manahu. Because it's still a vessel. Va'afidu nifseka chisona. And even if the outer strap of the shoe breaks, why? Because you can still use it as a lefty shoe. And the outer strap becomes the inner strap. So you see the first opinion of this braita is telling you what? That even if the outer strap of the shoe broke, it still retains tum'ah. Why? Because it's still a shoe. Why is it still a shoe? Because you can switch it. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Continue the braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifseka pinimit tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If the inner strap breaks, the shoe is tameh. Why? Because it's still a shoe. Because the guy, you know, you adjust it, you fix it, it'll still retain tum'ah. Hachitzona. But once the outer strap breaks, finish. Tahor. Why? Because the guy's not using it as a shoe anymore. It's broken. Obviously, you see what does the Biuda hold. And you don't say that you switch a broken righty shoe for a lefty shoe. So we have this clear mahalog between Tanakama and the Biuda. Is it switchable? V'amar Ula, v'etima rabba barbar hanam arav Yohanan. Rav Yohanan made a statement regarding this, but he said, k'mahloket le'anyan tum'ah, just like these rabbis, Tanakama and Biuda, arguing le'anyan tum'ah, kach mahloket le'inyan Shabbat. Jeez, this mahloket is going to manifest legabei Shabbat. Meaning, if the shoe broke, and let's say eight issue to Yahid, according to Tanakama, if the outer strap broke, no problem. It's not mukseh, because you can switch it. Pick up the shoe and just walk it into your house. However, according to the Biuda, once the outer strap broke, since you can't switch it, he's going to say the shoe becomes mukseh, and therefore you'd have to leave the shoe. So the Ula said the machlok that we have, the inyan tum'ah, also manifests itself in inyan Shabbat. But he said like this, avalo the inyan halitza. But not regarding the law of halitza. Now we know halitza is a case where a fellow was married and he died without children. So the halacha says that his brother has to fulfill a mitzvah in a Torah called Yibum to marry his sister-in-law. In the event where he does not want to fulfill his mitzvah, in order to break the connection between him and his sister-in-law, he must go through the process called halitza, where he wears a shoe on his right foot and she must remove it. Again, the Torah is telling us that it's on the right foot that he wears it and she takes it off, and that breaks the bond between the both of them. So Rabbi Yohanan came along and said that while the mahloket is le'anyan Shabbat and le'anyan Tum'ah, but not le'anyan Halitza. Now we don't know which way Rabbi Yohanan was going. Was he going in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, or was he going in the rabbi's opinion? Which means, was he being mahmir by Halitza? Was he being lenient by Halitza? Which everybody agrees in Halitza that what? That it is considered a shoe, or that it is not considered a shoe. So the Gemara says, Bavinan, when we analyze, Rabbi Yohanan Ali Bademan. Rabbi Yohanan, when he made his statement, who was he going in? Whose opinion was he saying that all agree in Halitza? All agree that what? Like the rabbis, that it is a shoe? Again, we're talking about a case where the right shoe, the outer strap, broke. Okay? And now we're talking about where the outer strap broke and the fellow that's making the halitza is wearing that shoe on his right foot. So if you hold according to the rabbis, you'll say, well, since it's still considered a shoe, because bottom line, it can be worn on the left foot. Or do you say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that no, for halitza, it's not a shoe at all, because bottom line, it's not worthy for the right, because it broke. It's not worthy for the left either, because he holds, you don't switch. So therefore, we want to know when Rabbi Yohanan made his statement that by halitza, everybody agrees what? That it is a shoe, or it isn't a shoe? So the Gemara says, Ilema alibad rabbanan. If you want to tell me that he's going according to the rabbi's opinion and say, Midelanyan tum'a manahave. Right? They say, for tum'ah is still considered a shoe, and therefore it's still going to retain its tum'ah. Le'anyan shabbat name manahave. And what? Le'anyan shabbat, it's all still considered a shoe. That why? It's not mukseh. Aval, lo lahalitza. De'lav manahu. But what are you going to tell me? That the rabbis are going to say when it comes to halitza, it's not going to be considered a shoe? Jesus, you tell me the machloket is only in the inyan Shabbat v'tum'ah. But the rabbis will concede that by halitza, it's not going to be considered a shoe. Is that what Rabbi Yohanan meant? Can't be. Why? That, and now we have a clear Mishnah in Masechet Yevamot. Halsa shel smol biyamin. If let's say the fellow wore the left shoe on the right foot, halitzata keshera. Clearly the Mishnah says the halitza is kesher. So therefore, the rabbis that hold that this shoe over here, that its outer strap broke, it's still considered a lefty shoe. And the Mishnah clearly says that if the guy wore a left shoe on the right foot, halitza keshera. So for sure the rabbi should say that just like it's a keli for Shabbat, and it's a keli for tum'ah, it'll be a shoe, the inyan halitza. So therefore, he couldn't have been talking in the rabbi's opinion, which means they hold it across the board. Ela alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Also, must be he was talking in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, midiranyan tum'ah lav manahu. Right? Just like for tum'ah, you tell me it's considered a broken shoe. Le'inyan Shabbat, name lav manahu. And le'inyan Shabbat also, it's considered mukseh. Aval, lo lahalitza. But the Yehuda will say, not for halitza, demanahu. That he'll consider it a shoe for halitza. Gemara says, how could that be? Iba damnin halsa shel smol biyamin halitza keshera. Rabbi Yehuda will learn that Mishnah over there that said that if the person wore his left shoe on his right foot, that the halitza is keshera. How will Rabbi Yehuda learn that? Hecha delimilte manahu. That's only when it's a shoe for its designated foot. Which means, when does a left shoe work on the right foot? When at least it's a lefty foot shoe. When at least it's a viable shoe for the foot that it was designated for. But here, for its designated foot, it's not considered a a shoe, which means this shoe over here that the outer strap broke, it's not even worthy for a lefty, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Haba Rabbi Yehuda nefseka chitzona taor alma lav manahu. So therefore, what the Gemara is trying to say is, Rabbi Yochanan, what were you talking about when you said that the machloket is only in the Inyan Shabbat v'tumah, but Chalitza is different. Chalitza is different what? In the Rabbi Yehuda? Are you going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that for Chalitza, if you have a shoe that the outer strap broke and the guy was wearing it, it's going to be kasher? And don't bring me from that Mishnah over there, Masichei Bevot, that says that if the guy wears a lefty shoe on his right foot, it's kasher, because that's only talking about a case where at least it was a lefty shoe. Here, according to the Yehuda, it's not even considered a lefty shoe, because he holds when the outer strap breaks, it's not switchable. So therefore, the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yochanan, who were you talking about when you made a statement that said, avalo le'inyan chalitza? So the Gemara says, le'olam alivad Rabbi Yehuda. Really, he was talking in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Eman, read the statement like this, v'chin la'chalitza. And say so too by Chalitza. And then what he was saying was like this. Just like according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a shoe l'inyan tumah, it's considered broken. And it's not a shoe l'inyan Shabbat, it's considered mukseh. It's not a shoe for Chalitza either. And you know what the Hiddush is? V'akamash ma'alan, big Hiddush. T'chi amrinan chalitza shel smol b'shel yamin chalitza keshera. That Mishnah that taught us that if the fellow wore the left shoe on the right foot, it's kasher. Hecha, that's only dilimilte manau. That's only where it's considered a shoe for the left foot. And you just switch the left shoe on the right foot. Aval hacha, but here where the outer strap broke, limilte lav manau. For itself, it's not even considered a left shoe. And therefore the Hiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is, in this case, it will not be kasher for chalitza. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda will agree that if a person wore a regular left shoe on his right foot, kasher for chalitza. But this case is different. Because this case over here, it's not even viable for the left foot. And therefore, when he wears this broken shoe that has the outer strap torn off it, certainly it's not a right shoe. And according to the Yehuda, it's not switchable, so therefore it's not even considered a left shoe. And therefore, for Chalitza, it will not be kasher. Now, what do we learn from this? This was all said by Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah? So Rabbi Yochanan was answering or discussing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So must be he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that must mean he says that when the outer strap breaks, it's not considered usable for the left, right? And therefore it's going to be mukseh. Therefore Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, hey, Rabbi, why you tell me that my shoe is mukseh? I could switch it. So Rabbi Yosef told him back, listen, I found a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that discusses Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. From the fact that he was discussing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, must be he holds like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and therefore it is mukseh. That's why I told you, leave the shoe. Don't pick it up, don't carry it, because it is indeed mukseh according to Rabbi Yehuda. Comes the Gemara to me, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Acher. Did Rabbi Yochanan say that the halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda? That you can't switch the shoe from the right to the left, meaning on Shabbat, and that it should be mukseh? Did he say that? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan halakha kestam mishnah. We have a rule. Rabbi Yochanan holds halakha always follows the stam mishnah. That's a mishnah that nobody's arguing the mishnah, and there's no name in the mishnah. It's just a statement in the Mishnah, nameless, without a machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says, we always follow those Mishnayot. Now we found a Stam Mishnah that says the following. Vitnan. Sandal yaveh shu. Shenifseka ahat me'oznav. Okay, one of the ears of the shoe, again it's the flaps on top of the shoe, came off, vitikna, and you fixed it, tameh. Right? Even if you didn't fix it. Bottom line, since that doesn't take it out of a shoe status just by breaking one of the ears off of it, so it'll still maintain the status of tum'ah. Good? Tameh midras. Now midras means if, let's say, the shoe belonged to a zav, right? So we know whatever a zav steps on, so has the ability to mitame. So therefore, it is considered tame midras. Okay, meaning it is still have the status of av hatumah. A zav is an av hatumah, and his shoes, meaning whatever his shoes step on, his shoes have a status of av hatumah to make a rishon the tumah to whatever they step on as well. Comes the Gemara and says. Now we skip the parentheses, okay? My love. Now, when it says this over here in this Mishnah, lo shena pinimit velo shena chitzona, which means when we're talking about one strap, let's say breaking off the shoe, right? And the Gemara is telling you that it still maintains its tum'ah, and the Mishnah didn't really make a difference between which side. So it implies it doesn't matter if it's the inner strap or the outer strap, which means we have a stam Mishnah that's telling you that even if the outer strap broke, it still maintains tumah. Why must be? Because it's still a shoe, because you could use it for the left foot. This is a stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan holds like stam Mishnahs. So therefore now we have a proof that Rabbi Yochanan really doesn't go with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, who taught you to learn like that? Lo, pinimit dafka. When the Mishnah said that the shoe broke and it's tameh, it's talking about where the inner strap fell apart. But you're right, if the outer strap came apart, it'll be tahor. So the Gemara says, apar chitzona mai tahor? Is that what you want to tell me? That according to this Mishnah, if the outer strap fell apart, it's going to be tahor. Why? Because now it's not a right shoe and it's not a left shoe either? If that's the case, aditani, the fact that the second part of that Mishnah said, nifseka shiniya, if the second strap broke, now we continue the Mishnah, if the second strap broke, vitekena, and you fixed it, tahor min abidras, it is no longer, tameh midras, we no longer has a din of avatum'ah, Aval tameh magam midras, but it has the status of what's called magam midras, which I'll explain momentarily. The second part of the Mishnah is a case like this. Very interesting case. The first strap, the shoe became tameh, let's say. It was the shoe of a zav. The first strap broke. Now what happened was, the first strap, you fixed it. And then after you fixed the first strap, the second one broke. There the Mishnah tells us a hiddush. They didn't break simultaneously. The first strap broke, you fixed it, and then the second strap broke. In that case, the Gemara says the tum'ah, meaning the ava tum'ah of midras, goes off the shoe. Even though technically it always had one strap on it, but for some reason we'll see, the Gemara will explain, the tum'ah, ava tum'ah of midras goes off, it just has a status of what's called magat midras. Magamidas, I'll explain to you in a moment. But the point is, only in that case the Mishnah says that what? The shoe is going to be tahor from midras. So the Gemara says, niflog bedideh. If you tell me that there's a difference between the inner strap and the outer strap, what do you have to give me a case where two straps fell off to make tahara? Give me a simple case where, make a difference between the inner and the outer, and say, pinimit. Tell me, when do we say that the shoe is still considered tameh? That's when the inner strap, aval, chitzona taor. But chitzona taor, which means, if you wanted to tell me that this Mishnah is saying it's only talking about the inner strap, that's when the shoe breaks. When the inner strap breaks, it still retains tum'ah. Right? But when the outer strap breaks, since it's not usable for the right foot, and according to the Yehuda, it's not usable for the left foot, even if it's taor, so let the Mishnah bring me a simple hiluk. Inner strap, shoe retains tum'ah. Outer strap, shoe is tahor. Why did the Mishnah to the tahor case have to jump to a case where both straps broke? So, and what? So then we're proving from this Mishnah that what must be, there's no difference between the inner strap and the outer strap. Either one breaks, one of them, the shoe is going to be tameh. And therefore, Rabbi Yohanan, who goes like a stam Mishnah, saying halakha like this Mishnah, and therefore you see, he does not go like Rabbi Yehuda. So comes again, what on says, no, Amar Yitzhak ben Yosef, Tehe mishnatenu besandal sheyesh bo arba oznayim ve'arba tarsiyot tim shelo lishbor devarav shel Rabbi Yohanan. So he says, listen, we don't want to break Rabbi Yohanan. We want to keep Rabbi Yohanan going like Rabbi Yehuda. Just like we had in the other Mishnah where he was explaining Rabbi Yehuda. How could we make this Mishnah a Stam Mishnah, which it is, and Rabbi Yohanan Tzadalakha is like it, and still going like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, very, very simply. We could say we're talking about a shoe that has four straps, meaning two on the inside and two on the outside. And now we understand what the Mishnah is telling you. If, let's say, one strap on the outside breaks, so then already it's still a shoe. According to Rabbi Yehuda Badai, you can still wear it on the right foot, let's say. But if two straps broke, meaning the two outer straps broke, then it's going to be tahor. You know why? Because it's not a right foot, it's not a right shoe for a shoe for the right foot, and it's not also good for the left. So therefore, by saying that we're talking about a shoe that has two straps on each side, so the Mishnah works out. It's saying, one strap broke, tameh. Two straps on the outside broke, it is going to be tahor. And who's that going like? The Yehuda. And that's a Stam Mishnah. So therefore, we had to, you know, add a case in here, or actually make a scenario. But by adding this case, now at least Rabbi Yohanan is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I just must point out, in that second case of the Mishnah, which we learned above, where one strap came off, which now we're learning actually one outer strap came off, right? And now you fixed it, and then the second outer strap came off. We said, it's tahor from Midras. It loses its status of Avatuma, but it still maintains a status called Maga. Now, what is Maga? We know that whatever Azav steps on, that's Avatuma. The Zav has a Avatuma level. However, there's Maga Azav. Whatever Azav touches, for example, Azav is an Av, whatever he touches becomes a Rishon. I must point out again that what he steps on becomes an Avatuma. That's Midras Azav. He's an Av. What he steps on also becomes Avatuma. What he touches becomes, that's called Maga, becomes a Rishon Netuma. So they're just saying, Hidush over here, that when one strap breaks, right, you fix them, the other strap breaks. Now, as we're going to see, it's not the same shoe anymore. It's not the same shoe of the original Zav. They're going to call that Panim Hadashot Ba'udekan. It's a new shoe. You're right, even though technically both straps are on, but you reconstructed the shoe. So it's not considered the same shoe, therefore it's going to lose its Avatum'a status. However, when the one strap broke, and then you fixed it and the second strap broke, bottom line, it's still a shoe. And therefore, it was touched by itself. And since it itself has a tumah on it, so what's the law when a zav touches something? It has a din of a rishon. So therefore, the shoe will have a din of maga zav. Le'inyan di midras, since the shoe was reconstructed, one strap fell off, you fixed it, the second strap, it's a new shoe. Panim hadashot malkum. A new face came over here, so to speak. Therefore, it's not going to be avatuma. But bottom line, when the first strap came over, you fixed it. Bottom line, and the second strap broke. It's still a shoe technically. It never became not a shoe. It might be a new shoe here, but it's still a shoe. And therefore, it is constantly touching itself. And therefore, it's like a zav that touches something. So it'll maintain the shun tumah. In any event, what do you see from here? You see this Gemara. Rabbi Yohanan is okay. He can be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So comes the Gemara first. It says, Ki ata ravin. Amar Rabbi Hanan bar Abba marav. Halakha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now we get to the halakha. The first rabbi said that the halakha does follow Yehuda, that when the outer strap breaks, it is not usable for the right, for the left foot, therefore it will be mukseh on Shabbat, and it will be tahor for if it became tameh. But Rabbi Yohanan amar, in halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, the halakha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So now it comes out we have a mahlok, what Rabbi Yohanan said. According to this opinion, he said the halakha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Umi amar Rabbi Yohanan, What do you mean? Did Rabbi Yohanan say this? Ve'ah medemitaretz Rabbi Yohanan libad Rabbi Yehuda shmamina ki Rabbi Yehuda svirane. What do you mean? We learned on the Amud Rishon that from the fact that Rabbi Yohanan was talking in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when he discussed the Halitza and those cases, he was referring to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, must be he goes like him. Gemara says, Amura'eninu, after it's a machloket Amura'im, ve'alibad Rabbi Yohanan. So really, in conclusion of this piece, we have a machloket Amura'im, what Rabbi Yohanan held. Did he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Or not, it's a machloket. Tananatam, we have a Mishnah. Kol keli ba'ale batim shi'uran kedimunim. Now, we know a vessel that's used, let's say, by a balabayit, as opposed to a craftsman. When the keli breaks, if it had tum'ah on it, once the keli breaks, so the tum'ah goes off. The question is, what's considered broken? How big of a hole do you have to have in a keli that's considered not functional anymore? So the law is the size of a rimon. The size of a rimon, which means anything less than a rimon, the guy will still use it. Once it gets to a rimon, it's too big, he's throwing it away. So that's what the Gemara says. Kol kli ba'le batim shi'uran kirimonim. So now the Gemara has a question. Ba'e, let's just get the text. Ba'e Hizkiyah. Hizkiyah had a question. Nikav kemotzi zayit v'setamo. Let's say the keli got a hole in it, the size of an olive, and you fixed it. The chazar v'nikav kemotzi zayit. Then it got another hole, the size of an olive, v'setamo, and you fixed it. Ad sheshlimo lemotzi rimon mahu. Until, if you count all the broken holes that were fixed, it comes out to rimon, but it did not happen simultaneously. So Hizkiyah wants to know, what's the deen? Amar de Rabbi Yohanan. So Rabbi Yohanan tells Hizkiyah, Rabbi, Rabbi, Shanita lanu, you taught this to us, which means regarding a different case, you gave us the answer. How? Our case of the sandal. Sandal shenifseka achat me'oznav. You have the sandal. One of the straps came off, v'tikna, and you fixed it. So we said tamim midras, right? Because when one strap breaks, doesn't matter, the keli retains its tuma. Okay? Nifseka shiniya v'tikna. However, if the second strap breaks, then already taor v'na midras. We said it becomes taor from the midras. We said it have a tuma anymore. What about tamim agam midras? But it's considered the rishon the tuma. V'amirin alaka. So when you told us this mishnah, we asked on you. Which means, in the first case, when the first strap broke, you told me it's still tameh. What's the logic? Because you still have one strap left. So he says, in the second case also, in the second case, you always had one strap. Because when the first strap broke, you fixed it first, and then the second strap broke. So Rabbi, bottom line, you always had one strap. Why in the first case, when one strap broke and you fixed it, it remains tamei midras? Where in the second case, one strap broke, you fixed it, the second strap broke, it's not tamei midras anymore. Why? Bottom line, you always had one strap. So the Gemara says, ve'amartlan, and you answered us this question, Rabbi. Ve'amart alan ale, panim hadashot pa'udekan. And you said, no, it's a big difference. Here, it's a new shoe. Panim hadashot, a new face came here. Meaning, in the first case of the Mishnah, one strap broke, you repaired it. It's basically the same shoe still. It'll retain its tumah midras. However, when you fixed both straps, it's not the same shoe anymore. Now already, it's considered a new item, and therefore it's not going to retain the original tumah of midras of the Zav. So he says, Rabbi, based on the logic you told us, by the Zav case, we can apply it to the case of the vessel that has a hole in it. So sort of same thing over here. True, it didn't happen simultaneously. True, it was a kezayit and you fixed it, and a kezayit and you fixed it. Right? But bottom line, it's a new bowl, exactly. Bottom line, with all these holes in it, it's not considered the same vessel. Therefore, it should be tahor. So that was Rabbi Yohanan's answer to Hizkiyah's question. When Hizkiyah heard this, he was amazed by the genius of Rabbi Yohanan, how he was able to, apply the case of the shoe of the Zav to this case here. So Kari Ale, so Hizkiyah said about the Yohanan, let den bar inash. This man is not a human being. He is a malach. Ika de Amri, or some say, Kegon den bar inash. He said, no, this is a human being. This is considered a human, which means either he was calling him an angel or a human being, but he was giving him a praise. Amar Bizera, so the Gemara comments on this. Amar Bizera, Amar Ababar Zimuna. Im Rishonim b'nei Malachim, the famous Gemara. If the Rishonim, meaning if the earlier rabbis are considered b'nei Malachim, sons of angels, Anu b'nei Anashim, then we are considered human beings. V'im Rishonim b'nei Anashim, and if they are considered sons of people, Anu kahamorim, then we are considered like donkeys, and not any donkey. Ve'lo kahamorot shel Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa v'shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and not like the donkeys of those rabbis even. Ela kishar hamorim, but like the other donkeys, which means those donkeys of Rabbi Pinchas ben Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. The Gemara tells stories how one of them was careful not to eat fruit that they didn't take maaser on it. Another one was careful not to work on Shabbat. So therefore you see, even when it comes to donkeys, there's donkeys. So therefore you're saying, if the previous rabbis of the previous generations are considered like malachim, so relatively speaking, if they're angels, so then we're human beings. You see over here, it's a qualitative difference over here, which is the difference between an angel and a human being, which means, how far is that? And that's what the rabbis of the Gemara were referring to, which means when Hizkiyah was referring to Rabbi Yohanan, the rabbis, the Amoraim, were referring to the rabbis, you know, before them. And they were saying, if they're like angels, we're like humans. But if they're like humans, then already, what are we going to say about ourselves? We must be like Hamorim, and not any Hamor, but like regular Hamori, not even the Hamor of Rabbi Pinchas. I saw a wonderful explanation in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot talks about different signs that make a person a Tamid Hakam. So one sign of a Tamid Hakam is Omer al Rishon Rishon val Aharon Aharon, which means when he's answering questions, he answers in sequence. You know, you ask him six questions, he answers the first, and the second, and the last, which means he's methodical. That's the speech of a Tamid Hakam. But I heard an explanation that, who is a true Tamid Hakam? Omrim al Rishon Rishon, which is his attitude towards the Rishonim, towards the rabbis that are before him, he has reverence to them. Omer al Rishon Rishon, he says, this is the Rishon, this is our predecessor. Well, Aharon Aharon, which is he knows the difference between the Rishonim and the Aharonim. There's a famous teshuvah from Rabbi Akiva Eger, where he writes back to one rabbi that in his question that he sent to Rabbi Akiva Eger, he wrote very disparagingly against one of the Rishonim. So Rabbi Akiva Eger could not tolerate somebody sending him a question, and no less a rabbi sending him a question where he talks in the question negative against the rabbi. So Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, Lichvod Harava Hamor. He refers to him as Rava Hamor. And then he says, if you take back what you say, then I'll refer to you as a Tamid Hakam. And he cites this Gemara as his proof. To me, you see how careful we have to be, even when we're discussing the opinion of the Rishonim, how we have to talk in with respect. The Pilei Yoetz writes, we have to imagine when we're talking about Rashi as if he's sitting in front of you. How would you talk about Rashi if he was in front of you? Would you say, it doesn't make sense. It's difficult. It's crazy. You're talking about the Shita of the Rishonim. If we don't understand it, the Chesaron is on us. The Rishonim knew what they were talking about. Their opinion was logical to them. Therefore, if you see many times Rabbi Akiva Eger, when he writes his Perush, he writes, Lo Nid'ali. Right? He says, to me, I don't understand it. Which means, to them, they understood it. The Rishonim knew what they were talking about. He says, Li Lo Nid'ai. And he would always pray, V'Hashem Ya'ir Einai. And God should, you know, open my eyes in order that I should be able to understand the Vrekocham, their holy words. And the Gemara continues. So let's just to finish this piece over here, the Gemara comes out that the reason why he didn't tell him to take the shoe when Abaye's shoe broke in the Rishut Ya'i, because he held Mukseh, he held his Mukseh based on Rabbi Yohanan's opinion that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, that when the outer strap breaks, you don't switch it for the left shoe, therefore it wasn't viable for as a shoe, therefore it became Mukseh. Come back to the Gemara, Vinodot Ya'in Veshem, and we said in the Mishnah that if you have a flask of wine or oil, so we said that it is permissible to untie these flasks on Shabbat, meaning they're not permanent knots. So give us a pshita. Of course, spashut, you're always opening it and closing it. You don't leave a permanent knot. So give us lo tzirika de'itle tarte une. We're talking about where, let's say it has two straps. We have, let's say, a flask of wine, where you have two knots. And therefore, technically, all you do is have to undo one knot and pour it, and you might leave the other knot permanent. Therefore, you might think it's asur, because which knot are you going to leave, and therefore be forbidden to make these knots on Shabbat or untie them. Comes the Gemara and says, the Hiddush is, Mao de temahada mina betulim mevatele. You might think you leave one of them. Kamash malan, no. That what? The derech was to untie both of them in order to pour the wine or the oil. Kedirash shel basar, you have a pot of meat. Now again, they used to cover the pots of meat with a cloth and make a knot. So the Gemara says you can untie that on Shabbat because there's no problem, because it's not a permanent knot. Pshita, again it's pashut. Lord Slika de Itla Shalcha. But the way, let's say there's a spout to the pot, and technically you can get the food out without really having to untie the knot on top. I might think that you might leave the knot there because you can get it out of the spout. Kamash malan, that no, that really, the way they used to do this, they used to untie it, reveal the whole pot, so you can take out the meat easily. Now the end of the Mishnah quoted a statement of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He discussed putting a kesher, putting a rope in front of an animal. Let's review this case. You have an animal in a corral. You want to keep it from going out, right? So it said you take a rope and you tie it across, okay? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said you could do that on Shabbat. You could tie it and you could actually untie it as well, okay? So comes again what says, Pshita, that is pashut. So the Gemara says, Lo tzericha de'itla tarte isre. We're talking about where you have two knots. Now, there's two ways of learning this Gemara. I'll give you both ways. One way is we have actually two ropes. You have one rope on top, and then you put another rope on the bottom. So it's like a little fence he made of two ropes. So now the animal cannot go through, okay? So we're talking about where he made, let's say, before Shabbat, he made, let's say, two of these ropes, and now we want to know, can he undo it? So the Gemara says, Mao de tema hada minayu betule maftil. Or even if he wants to do it on Shabbat, let's say, you might have thought that he might leave one of them. Meaning, if he wants the animal to get out, all he got to do is untie the bottom one, and now the animal could just get out. So you might think the top one is considered permanent, and therefore you can't make such a knot on Shabbat. Kamash ma'alan, that what? That no. That when the guy makes it, he unties both of them in order to let the animal out, and therefore he's not going to leave even the top one. So therefore it would be permissible on Shabbat to tie them or to untie, because none of them, not the top or the bottom, are not considered permanent. Again, you might think to let the animal out, technically all you have to do is just untie the bottom one, and now the animal can duck underneath. Kamasha, you don't do that. When he takes it off, he takes off both, so both of them are not considered permanent. It would be permissible on Shabbat. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is, it's one rope, but you tie it on both sides. Right. So to open it, all you got to do is really open just one knot, and it just, you know, it slides away and the animal can go through. So technically it should be asur to put this on Shabbat, because which one are you going to leave? You're going to leave one of them. Kamash malan, that no. The way they used to do it is when they would take off the rope, they would actually unfasten both knots and let the animal go through. So therefore it's considered permissible on Shabbat. So again, either it's talking about the two ropes or the two Not. Comes the Gemara and concludes. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Halacha, Eliezer ben Yaakov. The halacha indeed follows Eliezer ben Yaakov that it's permissible to put these ropes up in front of the animals on Shabbat. Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye tells Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Michlal de Palige. When you tell me that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that implies that somebody argues. Meaning Tanakama argues. Now, why should Tanakama argue? Everybody agrees in the principles. If it's not a permanent knot, it should be permissible. So why does Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel have to come out of his way and say, halacha zek Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, implying that Tanakama argues? So Abaye came along and said, halacha, you're implying that somebody argues on this? So what's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel's response to that? Amar le, may nafka lachmina. What do you care? Did I say anything wrong? Which is, am I wrong by saying halacha follows the Eliezer ben Yaakov? You want to tell me Tanakama agrees? Beautiful. Call chicken, then I'm right. What are you making criticism of what I said? So Abaye says, no, sir. Amale gemra gemor zimurtate. I have a tradition. Do you want my traditions to be like a song? We saw this statement before, meaning he's trying to say, what do you mean? We just make statements over here like we were singing a song without kavana? When you make a statement... It has to have its implications. You can't just throw out statements. He says, my tradition is that nobody's arguing on this case. So when you come along and say a statement, halakha falls to me as in Yaakov, and then I come and correct you and say, hey, nobody's arguing. And you come back and say, oh, what's the difference? What's the difference? We're singing songs over here? This is the Divrei Torah. You have to be accurate. You have to be precise. So he says, Lashon, gamra gemor. I have a tradition on this. Zimurtate, should I make my learning like a music where it's not precise, we're just singing songs there? Therefore, the halakha, everybody agrees that since it's not a permanent knot, it would be permissible.